Hi, I'm Coach Corey Wayne, and this is my video coaching newsletter. And the topic of today's newsletter is going to be why you should let her win you over instead of pursuing her. Well, I got two emails today, and what I liked about these particular emails I'm going to go through with you is really what these guys have going on is a mindset issue. They're both in the mindset of, oh man, I really hope this girl likes me. I hope she chooses me. That's the opposite of confidence. And confidence is the number one most important trait of men that women find attractive. And a big part of what turns women off towards guys that they're already interested in is a lack of confidence. And so if you start dating a girl that you really like, and you're always hoping that you can win her over, hoping that she'll pick you over all others, what typically tends to happen is you become too nice, become too compliant, you try too hard, you call too much, you text too much, you don't stand up for yourself, you act soft. In your words, your vibe, you're constantly giving off this vibe that almost like you're not worthy and you don't deserve to be there. And women crave confidence in men. And if you're constantly displaying a lack of it, eventually they're going to lose attraction and become attracted to other guys they may be talking to or meeting who do display the proper mindset. I think, you know, I've used this example countless times over the years, but the old movie, old black and white movie, It's a Wonderful Life, that's what you see Donna Reed's character. The whole movie, she's trying to get the most eligible bachelor in town. She's trying to get him to choose her over all the other women in the city, the small little town that they live in, to choose her over all the other potential suitors, even though Jimmy Stewart's character, George Bailey, has no desire or intent to even stay in that town. He wants to get out of there and go see the world and build an empire somewhere else other than Bedford Falls. So with that said, let's go through the first guy's email and see what we can do to clean up their mindset and their thinking here. Because they're thinking, even if they do win the girl over, over time, the longer they're with her, that's going to slip out and typically leads to friend zoning or outright rejection. The key is you, as a man, you want to display mostly attractive behavior and not fall into the trap, which, I mean, when you see in movies and TVs, they're always teaching us guys to make the women in our lives our mommies and our therapists. And you do that, you want to cry in your beer every night because you're going through a tough time, eventually they're going to get sick of it because you're supposed to be the strong one. You're supposed to be the one with the masculinity. You have to be more masculine than the women in your life. Otherwise, you're going to ruin the sexual polarity and they're going to have feelings of platonic friendship for you. And then that's going to cause them to not feel safe because it forces them to move into their masculine energy, which is not their natural essence, which will turn you off because she's acting more like a dude now and it just spirals out of control. It's a bad, bad, bad way to go. So the first guy says, hello, coach. You made a video a year ago called Her Ex is Back and Now She's Trying with Him. I've moved on and now I'm on my eighth read. Although dating has been a stressful endeavor, I was raised by a single mom. I've now been on dates with 14 women, one in which I dated 6 months before ending it this past summer. That's the whole point of dating, is so you can get better. And you can figure out what's really important, what you really want, and improve your skills. I was talking to a guy yesterday, really nice dude, and he's been following me for about 16 years now. And part of his problem is he read the original version of the book many, many years ago. I mean, this is going back to the first edition from like 2006. So 2008, 2009, he came across it, read it a couple times. And then when the audiobook came out in 2016, he says he listened to it 15 times, but he never really did anything with it. And it's like, you can watch my videos, you can watch every single video, all the thousands of videos, you can read 3% Man 100 times, but if you don't interact with women and if you don't apply the things that are in the book, you're not going to get better. And like his problem is he met a girl that just in his normal routine of work, because in the type of job he was constantly going into different businesses. And obviously a lot of these businesses, the secretary or the girl up front is a cute girl. And one of these girls really liked him. And he wasn't prepared and he went out on a date with her. It seemed to go well, but there was also the same thing. There was an ex in the background and maybe she went got back together with the ex. Maybe he's just said and did too many things that turned her off. Because as I was talking to him, I could tell that he's asking me the most basic questions that are covered in the book. And it had been many years. I mean, the audiobook, A 3% Man, this thing will be out 7 years now since I recorded that. God, I can't believe that's so fun. Doesn't seem that long ago, 2016. But he listened to it a bunch when it came out, and then he hasn't listened to it since and hasn't practiced. It's like, how are you going to get better? Repetition's the mother of skill. If you study the material but you don't apply it with anybody, you're not going to get better at it. It's just like you can read 100 books on working out and physical fitness and diet and exercise, but if you don't actually go into a gym and you don't do anything to change your diet, you're not going to get in better shape. You actually have to do work. You must participate in your own rescue. So it's super, super important to do that. So this guy's out there. He's this 14 women in a year. The other guy I was talking to yesterday, I doubt whether he's dated 14 women in the last 15, 16 years. It's like you're not going to get better with that kind of effort. That's really sitting on the sidelines of life. And meanwhile, all these years have gone by. He says, 4 months ago, I met a girl at a store that I do sales calls at. Taller, younger, higher position, etc. Admittedly, I wanted to prove to myself that hypergamy wasn't real. He says he's a former MGTOW guy. So I took a shot. The whole thing with that hypergamy, it's like kind of been turned into a religion. And it's a nice concept and all, but I don't look at it as some earth-shattering, whoa, hypergamy doesn't care. Women want to date above their socioeconomic level. Well, that's not exclusive to women. I mean, all men and women, we all want to date and punch above our weight, so to speak. We want to feel like we got somebody a little hotter and a little better than we deserved. We want somebody that we're really proud of, somebody that we feel was out of our leagues, or that we really lucked out, we really did well. It's like, there's no reason to build a whole religion around it. And roasting the guys, the MGTOW community and the Red Pill community, is they turn into a religion. Every time they screw up or they do something wrong or they act unattractive, it wasn't because they did anything unattractive or they made a bad choice in the woman. Oh, it's hypergamy. Oh, it's not my fault. It was hypergamy. Hypergamy doesn't care. Then it becomes an excuse for everything. It becomes an excuse for every failure. I mean, the reality is real men blame everything that's in their life, good and bad, on themselves. Your actions, your words, your deeds, your thoughts, your vibe has attracted these people into your life, good and bad. And anytime you want to point the finger and say it's not your fault or, oh, it's hypergamy, that's absolving yourself from saying, hey, wasn't my fault. Therefore, I don't have to change nothing. I don't have to get better. It's just shucks. Just charge it to the game. On to the next. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't fix the issues, you'll continue to get dumped and blown off and friend-zoned for the same exact reasons over and over and over. He says, to test her interest, I teased her about how bossy she is. I told her she could come help me and let someone boss her around for a change. Surprisingly, she came to my aisle and started helping. Within minutes, I asked for a date. He says, on the date, she admitted to rejecting two other guys that week who asked, do you have a boyfriend? And she said she loved the way I asked her out. At the end of the night, she almost kissed my face off and whispered, 10 out of 10 date. For 2 months, she was aggressive, sending selfies, setting dates herself, etc. But then, suddenly, silence. Silence! Now, I have examples. I experienced the same thing. Went on a few dates with a girl. It basically sucked my face off at the end of the first date. And then she dipped quickly after that. That was weird. 6 months later, I run into her again. And then she tells me that, or maybe it was closer to a year, eight months, whatever it was. But she said that shortly after we had gone out and she was all over me, her ex-boyfriend that she had broken up with 5-6 months before that had gotten in touch. And they ended up getting back together and take another stroll down memory lane. And oftentimes that's the case. And so I put specific examples in there from my own life of when I learned these things so you can understand it too. But this part, like I was talking about earlier, with the guy had been following me 15 years, he's not really practicing anything. He's not getting better. He's not having these rejections. He's not having these screw-ups. And then he meets one girl that he really likes, and then she ghosts him, and he's just devastated by it. It's like he tended to pedestalize her a little bit as well. So he says, not one text for a month. I got perturbed internally, but didn't keep texting. He said she texted me 2 weeks after my last message and told me that she had a lot of emotional things that she needed to heal from. So, I mean, typically, like I said, if you're doing everything right, if you're doing everything textbook, and like I said, the guy I was talking to yesterday, I mean, it really seemed like most of what he did on the date was pretty good. I didn't hear anything that was just earth-shatteringly bad, but she just disappeared. But she was also, when he met her, recently out of a relationship. And oftentimes those exes come back in the picture. And if you're in essence competing against some guy that she spent several years with, she's emotionally bonded to him, and you're just some new dude you only been out on a few dates with. So it's understandable that the other guy's just got the leverage and you don't. That's why in those cases, your game's got to be tight. You have to let her come to you. Can't try to force it. He says she texted 2 weeks after my last message and told me she had a lot of emotional things she needed to heal from. When we finally met up for a movie night at her place, she confessed she recently got out of a 5-year relationship. There you go. And her ex has been texting her. So she's all hot and heavy for this guy. It starts progressing, but, you know, the ex is doing some things right. And poof, she disappears because she wasn't over him. She also mentioned her close friend from work has been buying her gifts. Admittedly, it got quieter that night. Then it dawned on me that she never asked any questions about me, my aspirations, my family, my goals, etc. Not even my age. Nothing. I also realized how some weeks she was super into me and other times she would go total silence. Her texts have died off. So it's obvious. It's like, I mean, this is so predictable. It's the ex is the problem. When things are going well with the ex, you don't hear from her. When it looks like it's not going to work out with the ex, she's all over you. Probably also an insecure girl. Because a woman who's got her act together is like, when it's over, it's like she's done. And she's not going back to him. She's taking time to heal. And she's moving on. And if she goes out with a new guy, she's open to things with the new guy. Not bouncing back and forth like a yo-yo between the ex and any new guy or guys she may be dating. A few weeks later, and this is why it's so important to understand that dating is like tennis, because every guy, if you date long enough, you date enough women, you're going to run into women that are in exactly this situation. And that's why if you hit the ball over the net, in other words, if you text her and she doesn't text back, she's probably with the other guy. And when you're patient, which obviously it looks like this guy was, she reaches out a few weeks later. And she messaged, "Are you wanting more of this?" And he replied, "What do you mean?" She said, "We can keep going, but I want the freedom to whoever comes my way. I'm talking to others, but you're the only one I'm seeing and sleeping with. I don't know if I can guarantee anyone a relationship in the future." Well, something like that, I would say, well, I'm just getting to know you, and I'm dating other women as well, and I want to find the right girl for me. Obviously, you're still kind of involved with your ex, and it's kind of a messy situation, and I don't really want to get wrapped up in that, but I do really like our time together. And I would like to continue seeing you. But I can't guarantee that I'm going to want to be in a relationship with you because, quite frankly, you're still involved with your ex. And that's not something that really excites me. You know, you really should be resolving that situation with him. And then once you're 100% sure you don't want to get back together, that's an ideal situation for me. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and I'll give you a chance to win me over. That should be your mindset and be playful about it. Because she's basically saying, she's helping you because she likes you. She's telling you what's going on, that there's other dudes. In other words, don't try to force things. Don't try to force me into a relationship. Because quite frankly, every other guy she's encountering is doing that. Like you have one dude's buying her gifts, which come off as a bribe for sex in a relationship. He says, the universe has brought me another woman dealing with an ex, and now a coworker. Is it self-respectable to continue anything with her, especially when I see her coworker sometimes? Who cares? It's between you and her. You don't owe anybody anything. Let the best girl win. That should be the mindset. Again, if you watch the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, that's what was going on. Donna Reed, the whole movie's trying to get his attention because they tell the whole love story. There's other women, other pretty, like Violet, the other Bond, real pretty Bond, really likes him. But he's just like, his mind is, I'm getting the hell out of this town. I'm not staying here. But Donna Reed's character has other plans, and eventually she wins him over. And so Jimmy Stewart's not, I mean, his character, he's not threatened by other guys in the town. He's like one of the biggest guys in town because everybody knows who he is. Everybody loves him. He's the most eligible bachelor. And that's the attitude you want to have. Hey, may the best girl win. Whoever tries the most, who's ever consistent, who treats me the best, who's easygoing, easy to get along with, who communicates well, that's who's going to get my time. That should be your attitude. You shouldn't have the attitude, ooh, I hope she likes me. I hope I can win her over. Because that's a lack of confidence. What do you mean, I hope I can win her over? I hope she can win me over. Hopefully she'll treat me well enough, consistently enough, that once she falls in love, that maybe I'll agree to be her boyfriend. That should be the attitude. When you come from that place and you're thinking like that in a mindset-wise, that's why when she texts you those things about other guys, you don't get butthurt or upset. You have some fun with it. And flip it around on her. It's like, well, I'm dating other women too. And quite frankly, I usually don't date women that are still talking to their exes and still dating their exes, especially women that I'm sleeping with. But, you know, I know there's a good chance you may even go back to them. Maybe you may try for another run with them. So from that perspective, you know, I like you a lot though, but I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt to win me over. But, you know, ideally I really don't typically get involved with women that are still talking to exes, but I like you. You're kind of cute and you're good in bed and I'll give you a shot. Maybe you can win me over. So he says, is it self-respectable to continue anything with her, especially when I see her coworkers sometimes? Again, it's like, who cares? It doesn't matter. I know I became perturbed at times. That's a bad way to go. That's a lack of confidence. You can't do that. Is she waiting for a better deal? So I know the red pill guys that would go, hypergamy doesn't care. If she didn't choose me, it's because of hypergamy. It's like, no. If you act like a bitch, women are going to treat you like a bitch. She's looking for the most masculine guy who's the most consistent, the guy that she's got to work for. And my book teaches you to do that. It actually has solutions, unlike the nonsense these guys are getting in the red pill community, which a lot of them, quite frankly, have fucking ripped me off. Pardon my French. And are taking bits and pieces of my work and passing it off as their own and cherry picking and mismashing it with a bunch of red pill nonsense when they don't really know what the hell they're talking about. That's why I got so many clients these days coming to me that got involved in the red pill community and it completely wrecked their marriages or their relationships because most of these guys are just idiots. So is she waiting for a better deal? Again, she's going to choose whoever acts the most masculine and the most consistent, the things that I talk about in my book. That's why you got to read it 10 to 15 times so you can embody that. Because if you embody that, you're not going to care. Remember, this guy's a recovering MGTOW guy. So he's, you know, bought the BS about hypergamy being something that's like this exclusive secret. I know, I have awareness. I know women's true nature. Oh, they want to date up? Us guys want to date up too. I mean, just the stupidity I see from some of these comments, it cracks me up. But, you know, you do you, boo-boo. Or is she emotionally unavailable? Well, partially because, again, she's involved with her ex. But, again, if you had the right mindset, you'd be unperturbed. You'd be amused by all this. And you wouldn't care. You wouldn't feel so bad about dating other women because she's come right out and said that she's dating other guys, including the ex. Is it best to just hook up with a girl like this? It's like, you're the king of your kingdom. You're a big boy. Put your big boy pants on and make up your own damn mind. Admittedly, I'm turned off at the idea if she's sleeping with her, let's just say, distasteful coworker. Again, you're getting butthurt and perturbed because you're afraid of other men. And that's the wrong mindset, dude. He says, I appreciate your wisdom, coach. It's like I said, may the best girl win you over. That should be the mindset. Your whole thinking and your whole email is the opposite of what my book teaches, partly because you got into their red pill cult nonsense. I always say this when it comes to the red pill or the manosphere, I would look to what President Anthony Dream Johnson has to say about it, because he's been exposing a lot of the frauds and the con artists and the scumbags in the community. And he's, my interactions with him, the interviews I've done with him, he seems to be a high character guy, and he likes people keeping their word. And there's quite frankly a lot of worms in the community, and I like the fact that he's rooting some of these clowns out. So let's go to the second email. He says, "Hi, Coach. Huge fan of your work. I have been following you for a year now, and I have had massive success with women after reading your book 40 times. 40 times. That's a lot. Nice job. So when somebody reads the book that much and they practice it, which is the important thing, because if you read it 40 times but you don't practice it with anybody, you're not going to get better. Eventually, you just forget it anyways. And nothing's changed because you haven't had real-world experiences with a different you." He says, "My goal is to go for 100. He says, "I enjoy challenging myself." If you go through 100, the book 100 times, I would imagine you probably literally could regurgitate it in audiobook format, word for word. He says, "I've been attracting straight tens. A lot of women I have been with are loyal, stable, and very successful women. Some have been doctors, engineers, architects, and entrepreneurs." He says, "Sorry for bragging, haha. I am pretty successful. I run my own business. I'm pretty fit and practice multiple martial arts. I have even been told by some of the girls I have been with that I resemble something like James Bond because of my quiet and strong demeanor. Thanks to you, Coach, and my dad." He says, "The issue I have been having lately is that these women always want a relationship, and I do as well because they knock my socks off, but the problem I have is that I don't have any friends. Locally, my only friends live in different cities and have very few family. I only have my sister and my father." So despite all that, despite all the success, this guy still kind of has a weak mindset. "I hope she likes me." He's got the same issue. "I hope these girls like me." And what's helping him is he's got multiple high character, high quality women that he's dating and he's interacting with, but he hasn't gotten exclusive with any of them. And so deep down, he's afraid if they really get to know what's really going on in his life, what his family and his friends are like. Honestly, when I read the email the first time, I thought, this is kind of absurd. It's like, I wouldn't even think about this issue regarding my own friends and family. It's like, I know lots of people, but I got a small group of really close friends and family that I'm in touch with. And if people have, I mean, at the end of the day, I've dated girls that have really big families, and the reality is not everybody gets along. In every single family, you always have different factions, aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, people that don't like each other, their spouses don't like each other, whatever. The bigger your family group, the more you're going to have issues like that. The smaller it is, the less you're just going to have instances of that. He says, "I am afraid that if I let them in close enough that they will find out about this aspect of my life and they would not want to be with me." Because you got your sister and your dad, it's like, who cares? I mean, that's just silly. See, if you're really worried about that and then you do discuss it, you're going to come, your feelings of insecurity are going to be exposed. And that's the issue. If you're not bothered by it, then they're not going to be bothered by it. If you're like, wow, you only have your mom and your sister, you don't have a big family, it's like, yeah, we're a real tight, small family, and I'm really grateful for that. I didn't tell them. I know people that got big families, and a lot of times they got factions of their families that are disagreeing and arguing, and there's drama. It's like, it's kind of nice the way I have it. And I'm very selective at who I spend my time with. So, I mean, my close friends, I can count them on one hand. We all don't live in the same city, and we don't see each other as often as we would like, but these are lifelong friends that I'm always going to stay in touch with. These are my ride or die people. I mean, most people are just acquaintances anyways. Most people don't deserve to be in your inner circle. He says, "I'm very introverted and I don't like loud places or crowds. And honestly, I'm not desperate at all to have any friends where I live, and I don't feel lonely at all." There you go. I mean, look how that rolled right out of your tongue. "Honestly, I'm not desperate at all to have any friends where I live, and I don't feel lonely at all." Because you enjoy your own time. And that's something that you can tell her when it comes up. It's like, I actually, quite frankly, love being alone. I can relate to that because I love my time alone. I always have people over, for the most part. But when I get a date by myself, I love it. I enjoy the silence. I enjoy doing whatever I want to do. I got no complaints about that. And that's the way it should be. You should be okay when you're by yourself. If you're somebody that can't be okay unless you got somebody with you, it's like you need to really learn to spend your time alone and get to know yourself and enjoy your own company first. Because if you don't enjoy your own company, you're not going to be good company to anybody else. He says, but I can't get the thought out of my mind that if they want to see my family and realize I only have two members, and what if they want to meet my friends, but I don't have any? It's just, you do have friends. They just don't live in your city. Just say, well, if you make the final cut, babe, you know, over the next few years, you'll get to meet some of them. These are the kinds of friends that we might not talk for 6 months or a year, and then we go and hang out, and it's like we were just together yesterday. Like, those are the best kinds of relationships and best kinds of friendships to have. So that's not nothing to feel bad about. That's something to be proud about, dude. It's like, seriously, change your story about that. This is ridiculous. He says, as a result, I have been ghosting these women. He says, I know. Like, ghosting them? Weirdly enough, doing this has driven them even crazier. They have been calling me 2 times more. It was like, they're seeking your attention and validation. This is what you're supposed to do. I don't recommend ghosting them, but if you're dating multiple women and you don't want to get exclusive, that's understandable as well. I even had one of them come to my apartment to check up on me. I know what I'm doing is not okay, and I want to build a relationship, but I fear this fact will cause problems for me. What should I do? Well, stop ghosting them. That's just kind of ridiculous. If you don't want to be in a relationship or you don't want to be exclusive, just say, I'm not there yet. It's like, I'll understand if that's, I'm not moving fast enough and you want to date somebody else. I really like you, but you got to understand, I have a really small, closed circle of friends and family. And most people, I know lots of people, but they're not close friends. They're just acquaintances. Almost 99.99% of the people in my life, they're acquaintances. I have a small group of close friends and family. And if I'm going to get serious or exclusive with somebody, it's going to be because she's easygoing, she's easy to get along with, she treats me amazing, she's sweet to me, she communicates like an adult, she doesn't stonewall me, she doesn't go, I don't want to talk about it every time she gets upset about something. I ask her, I was like, tell me what's going on. I don't want to talk about it. That doesn't work for me. That's how you set and enforce healthy boundaries if somebody does that. It's like, I don't want to hear, I don't want to talk about it. He's like, you need to communicate like an adult. We can't resolve anything if you're just going to say, I'm not going to talk about it, and then you're going to sit there and stew. That doesn't work for me. My friends, my close family, I can count them on one hand. It's like those are really precious relationships. And if I'm going to get exclusive with anybody, it's because they have shown consistently over time, day in and day out, week after week, month after month, year after year, that they belong there. And quite frankly, almost everybody does not belong there. And I'm proud of that. And I'm willing to give you a chance, but you got to understand, I'm just taking my time. I'm not in a rush to do anything. Great things take time. Great relationships take time. So I would not be ghosting these girls, but I would not be agreeing to be exclusive with them either, because obviously you're not ready. So change your story about this, because quite frankly, it's kind of ridiculous. If you adopt the things I just shared with you, you'll be fine. It's all in your head anyways. So if you got a question or a challenge and you'd like to get my help, go to understandingrelationships.com, click the products tab at the top of your screen, and book a coaching session with yours truly. Until next time, I will talk to you soon.